Great to be here. Great to have Karen here. And Jerónimo from Argentina, one of our one of the elders in our church in Rosario. Things are going great. Thanks for your prayers, thinking of us. I don't think we get up here every year. Pastor Moore is very gracious about that, but we want to, and maybe we should every year. It's awesome to be with you. I want to just open the Word of God this morning to a couple places. We'll start with Hebrews chapter 12. Does anybody know, like, what's Hebrews 12 known for? The beginning of it, talking about from Hebrews 11, the faith, and then the cloud of witnesses of the faith. And then there's a group of verses that talk about discipline. Has anybody ever been disciplined? it's an interesting thing. Right after the portion of verses on discipline and the fact that God really does discipline his children, and actually is pretty, he describes it pretty graphically there for a while. And then in verse 12, at the end of that portion on discipline, he says, therefore, lift up the drooping hands. Can you imagine, like, somebody who's been disciplined and maybe their hands are drooping a little bit? Because after the discipline, you feel like... one thing I always remember from my dad. I got disciplined a couple times, a couple thousand times. And he would always say, I didn't do it. You know, I'm sure that I missed two or three things that you did. So just imagine that it's for that. I have a lot of interesting stories about discipline, but I won't tell them. My wife's saying, thank you, honey. She's translating over there for Jerónimo. You can say hola to Jerónimo or Dios te bendiga or just if you, anything at all, anything you know in Spanish at all, just you can talk to Jerónimo. This is what I remember after discipline, because I was the oldest child, and then it didn't, after the discipline in the evening. Because my mom would always say, you know, like, that was the worst thing to hear, like, during the day if you did something and your mom, you know, you wanted your mom to discipline you. Because the other thing was, you know, wait till your father gets home was way worse than whatever mom could do, right? And so, plus, then the wait actually was the worst part of the discipline. Like, the waiting until, you know, and I think she knew that. She said, wait till your father gets home, and like, and that waiting was terrible. But then in the evening, after, because I was the oldest, so I got to stay up the latest, and it wasn't affected by the discipline. And I remember I would be sitting, like, over on the couch. One of our favorite TV programs, my dad and me, was Hogan's Heroes. How many remember Hogan's Heroes? You guys are old. Wow. How many was that again? That was amazing. I never thought I would get that many hands for Hogan's Heroes. But it was not such an early in the evening program. And so I was the one, I remember this time where I was the only one that was awake for that program. It was me and my dad, and everybody else is upstairs. And I'd be sitting on the couch, and, you know, and I'm feeling a little, like, droopy-handed. Like, because I was disciplined. And then my dad would, you know, it would come on, and my dad would look over, and he'd go, there's ice cream in the refrigerator. And it didn't take me about half a second before I was up and getting two bowls of ice cream with Hershey's syrup and then I would go and sit on the chair with him. I don't know how old I was. I was 7, 8 years old, 9 years old. And we're watching, and you know, but the discipline, the drooping hands were gone. And this is what it says here. It says, lift the drooping hands and strengthen the weak knees and make straight paths for your feet so that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. Then it says, strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. See to it, and I just want to mention this verse here. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God. That's such a good statement, isn't it? See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, and that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled. I want you to go back to the book of Ruth with me. Well, it's such a pleasure to be here. Lord, I pray you would just minister in these few minutes to this assembly of believers. Thank you so much for your word that you do comfort us and speak to us and to our hearts. You invite us over onto your armchair with or without the ice cream. but you lift up our hands and you strengthen our knees. And please do that here this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. In the book of Ruth, you have Naomi who lost her husband, and then she lost, her husband died, and he had taken her down. Before he died, he had taken her and her two sons down to they were from Bethlehem. They went down to the land of Moab. This is during the time of the judges when everybody, it says in the book of Judges, there was no king. Everybody did what was right in their own eyes. Like, it's just a repeated theme from the book of Judges where you have, it's like today, isn't it? How many would you say, like, you know, here in upstate New York, is this upstate New York? Here in upstate New York, would you say that that the majority of people care about this book? No, right? I said, no. It's not okay, but it's okay. Because you care about this book. You know, they were in a time, Ruth and, you know, Naomi and Boaz, they were in a time when the majority of the people were not caring. In the beginning of the book of Samuel, it says there was no frequent vision. The word of God was scarce. And we could say, would you say the word of God is scarce in our area here? And yeah, but wait a minute. But at the same time that some people are like, don't care at all, like some people care a lot and care a lot enough to study the Bible and enough to be here on a Sunday morning and enough to say like, yeah, this is my church. I will participate. I will sing to the glory of the Lord. I will pray to the Lord to change hearts. I will pray for souls. I will pray for souls. Pray for souls. Pray for souls in Rosario, Argentina. You can come and visit us. We would love to have visitors from. We've had the first visitor that we had when Karen and I went to Lima, Peru in 2003. The first visitor that we had actually visitors was your pastor and Ron and Michelle. And has anybody else come from here or? And I used to have a picture of Michelle DiMatteo with her mouth open eating a ceviche from Peru, hot, spicy, and I took a picture just the right time. But unfortunately, it was before my phone was collecting and keeping and saving those pictures, so it's been lost. So we're thinking of recreating it. Where is she? Is she in here? But you can just imagine it. Just the worst possible expression. But in the book of Ruth, Naomi, she lost her husband. She lost her two sons before the daughter-in-laws were pregnant. Like, she doesn't even now have the hope of grandkids. And she doesn't have anything. And she's going to go back to Bethlehem with nothing. And she doesn't even have the promise of what could happen. I mean, she really is sort of, well, she says it. So look at what it says in verse 13. In verse 13, she says, at the end of the verse, she says, "No, my daughters, for it is exceedingly bitter to me for your sake that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me." This is, she's a believer, but she says, the hand of the Lord has gone out, what? Against me. Wait a minute. Is that true? I mean, can I ask you that question? Is it true? Was the hand of the Lord against Naomi? Can you imagine, though, could we think that way? Yeah. I mean, you know, it's a difficult situation. There's just like one thing, the hard thing. The husband is gone. You know, and we're living in the land of Moab, and okay, but I got my two sons, and they're married, and grandkids, and then my two sons are dead, and now I just got the daughter-in-laws that are like in law, but I don't have even the hope of kids, grandkids, nothing. And I'm going to go back to Bethlehem where I don't even have, I don't know if it's possible that I could even have a place. Where will I be? Who will I be with? But she says, the hand of the Lord is against me. It wasn't. Listen, it wasn't, but we can imagine. We could identify and say, yeah, I can imagine saying, like, or even thinking, maybe we don't say it out loud, but maybe we think it, right? The hand of the Lord is against me, but it wasn't. Like, and we see that it wasn't. And she didn't have to, look what she says then at the end of the chapter, chapter 1 still, but, and she says, when she gets up to Bethlehem in verse 20, she said to them, "Don't call me Naomi," because everybody was like, "Watch, hey, is that Naomi?" And she said, no, don't call me Naomi. "Call me Mara," which means bitterness, "for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went away full, and the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi when the Lord has testified against me?" Hey, listen, did the Lord testify against her? Did he? He didn't, but she's wrong. But we can understand. Well, she's wrong. Have you ever been thinking wrong? Have you ever caught yourself thinking wrong? It's good to catch yourself. I mean, it's not good to think wrong, but by the way, we all do. It's so easy. Like, what? I was on California time or whatever. I was thinking wrong. Like, I thought it was this, it was that. Like, and I told some people where I forget where we were, but I told some people, in Lee, Mass, that when I was a little boy, like I thought for some reason that dogs and cats were the same animal, and that the dogs were the males and the cats were the females. I knew I shouldn't have told this story. Okay, if I see this on Facebook, somebody's in big trouble. Okay, it doesn't matter, really. It doesn't matter. But I thought I was 4 or 5 years old, and I went to kindergarten thinking that. And when one of the little boys in kindergarten told me that his dog had babies, I'm going like, silly. You mean your cat had babies? And he's like, we don't have cats. I said, well, the dog can't have babies. The cat's a girl. I went home and I told my mom. I said, she said, how was kindergarten? I said, they're all stupid. They don't even know that the dog is the male and the cat is the female. And my mom was like looking at me like, what have we done wrong? And, so I was thinking wrong, obviously. I don't, you'll be probably glad to know that I don't think that anymore. Since last week, I think, Karen straightened me out finally. But we could be thinking wrong. We could be thinking wrong about any number of things. And Naomi was thinking wrong here. She didn't have to. Listen, this is what I want to say. The Lord didn't put her in bitterness. Just say that sentence. The Lord didn't put her in bitterness. Did the Lord put her in bitterness? No. Did God permit her husband to die? Could God have stopped that? Yes. Of course, God is God. He allowed this to happen. Her husband is dead. He allowed it to happen. Her sons are dead. Yes, but he didn't put her in bitterness. But she's bitter. She didn't have to get bitter. She needed the body. And by the way, that's what she got, Ruth. Thank God for Ruth, right? But she didn't get over it like that. It was like Ruth just says, and Ruth, by the way, is like, she's the new believer. Naomi is the mature believer, and Ruth is the new believer. But Ruth is ministering. Isn't that amazing? Isn't the body of Christ amazing? Hallelujah. Like the new believer is ministering to the mature believer who's in bitterness. But God didn't put her there, but she's there. Oh, yeah, she's there. But you know what else I like about the story? Ruth goes out and she goes out to get some, they arrived in Bethlehem. This is what the Bible says. When they arrived, it was at the beginning of the harvest of the rye harvest. What a coincidence. Wow. Does God work behind the scenes? Does God work when you didn't know it? Like later you go like, oh my. God was preparing something. Like God was doing something in my family. God was doing something in my heart. I didn't know it. I was bitter. I said like, oh, the hand of the Lord is against me. But it wasn't. I said, the Almighty has put me in bitterness. But he didn't. But then Ruth goes out and she meets Boaz. And he gives her, he not only allows her to gather the what has fallen behind him. By the way, it was a law. Did you know that? It was like from Deuteronomy. Moses told them, I forget what chapter it is, but Moses told them, when you're harvesting and stuff falls, don't pick it up. It's for the sojourner. Isn't that God? Like, it's like he's taking care of us. God says, don't pick it up. And so Boaz was a man of the book. He knew And he said, okay. So that's what I'm saying. Like, around us here in Malta and wherever we are here in upstate New York, like, there's not many people who are men of the book and women of the book, but you are, right? It's just, how about that, you know? It's not prideful to say, I am a man of the book. Right? Is that, do you think that's we? I mean, I could be, but I don't have to be prideful. I can say, like, let's be people of the book and be very happy about it. And Boaz is a man of the book, and she gets more than what she has a right to expect to get, and he even gives extra on top of that. And she goes back, but this is what I want to say. She goes back to Naomi, who is what? Where? How is Naomi doing? She's what? She's, say it nice and loud. Bitter. She's bitter. And Ruth comes back with, look, mom, look. Now, here's what I want to say. You know, because then you actually see, like, almost very quickly after that, Naomi is, again, she's ministering to Ruth. She's counseling Ruth again, and she's telling Ruth, all right, you should do this. And Naomi is all of a sudden like, hey, Naomi, what? I thought we were supposed to call you Mara. Psst, I was stupid. I was wrong. I thought that the dogs were the males and the cats were the females. You know, I was an idiot. Like, I thought that the hand of the Lord was against me, but I was so wrong. The hand of the Lord was never against me. It was not against me. Look, but here's what I want to say. You could imagine this. You could imagine, like, can I move this chair? I can't. You could imagine, okay, here's, you know, Ruth comes in with this, look, mom, and you could imagine this. Naomi goes, just say that. Come on. Help me. Pshaw. Like, what are we going to do? What is a big deal? Big deal. Like, so we get to live 3 more days before we die? Because I am what?
Bitter.
Could you imagine that happening? Could you imagine that this bitter lady, this bitter, you know, man, lady, crotchety, somebody who said that word, crotchety? Like, oh, yeah. Yeah. It's my wife hates that word. So I turned to her and smiled and laughed because she just doesn't like that word. Because I said, I'm getting crotchety. And she goes, shut up. I love my wife. That's good, isn't it? Yeah. Hallelujah. But you could imagine this bitter woman just saying, so what? Like, doesn't mean anything. We're going to be able to, like, live on that? That's nothing. Could you imagine that? It could happen, right? But it didn't. It didn't. She said, oh. And the next chapter, she's telling her, hey, you should go back to Boaz. And you should do, this is what I think she's praying again. I think she's, like, if you said, like, what about Mara? She goes, shh, no more Mara. I'm not in bitterness. Thank you, Ruth, you helped me. But now I'm out. I can actually, my spiritual maturity is kicking back in, and I can actually minister to Ruth. This is how the body of Christ works, by the way. This is how the body of Christ works. It's speaking faith words one to another. It's saying, let's go. So God, you know what? There's another verse that we've been thinking a lot about recently is in 1 Samuel 14, where Jonathan, Jonathan and Saul and all of them are gathered, and Saul has them all. All of the Israelites are hiding in caves, and Jonathan says to his armor bearer. He gets this little, it says, this is what it says in 1 Samuel 14. It says, Jonathan said, let's go up. Let's go up. He says, look at what, I'll read it. Is it up there? No, doesn't matter. It's in your Bible. 1 Samuel 14. Come, let us go over to the Philistine garrison on the other side. But he did not tell his father. This is so important. When you're excited about a word from God, don't tell Saul. Doesn't mean, now in this case, Saul is his dad. It doesn't necessarily mean don't tell your dad. You're like, if you've got a spiritual, faith-minded dad, then tell your dad. But that's who you got to tell. You got to tell someone, you got to tell the armor bearer. You got to tell someone who is a man of faith, a woman of faith. You got to tell, you got to have people of faith in your life, right? Amen. Is this true? Amen. We got to have it. And we got to tell them. Nehemiah, and Nehemiah goes into, he gets the vision, go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the walls. And it says he went around, he said, I didn't tell many, but I took a few men. I wonder about those few men. He just said, like, okay, I'm not telling everybody, but you want to come with me? You know, let's go. You want to come with me? Let's go. And I'm not telling everybody, but I'm going to tell a few men because I see there's these guys are faith. These guys are, because Saul, if I tell Saul, he's going to tell me why it won't work, right? You ever do that? You ever make that mistake? I got something from God, and you tell Saul, and Saul tells you, like, oh, you know, calm down, you young whippersnapper. Yeah. Pretty soon you'll be just as, bored and convinced that nothing supernatural is going to happen here, just like the rest of us, and we're just going to survive for another year. Instead of actually living by faith and walking on the water and getting a word from God. And John, you know what? This is what he says in verse, and I'll finish. I'll finish with this. It's such a good message for us. He says, come, let us go. This is verse 6 of 1 Samuel 14. Come, let us go over to the garrison of the uncircumcised. And then he says, it may be that the Lord will work for us. I mean, honestly, I love that even that he doesn't say for sure or, absolutely, and you know, I got it, and there's a lot of like boisterousness that people can do, and bombastic and this and that. And by the way, my experience, those people never do squat. But it's the guys like Jonathan that says it may be that the Lord will do something for us. It's like, you think it could work? Like, maybe. Like, I'm not going until it's 100%. Well, okay, Saul. Okay, Saul. Saul would have advised them, everybody stay in your holes. Maybe we'll survive. Jonathan says, let's go. God did something, right? God does things. God is like, he's in this. He's just saying, like, don't live in bitterness. Don't live in the bitterness of what you can see. Yeah, my husband's gone. My sons are gone. Like, nothing's happening. You know what I need? Boy, I need a Ruth in my life. I need a Jonathan in my life. I need an armor bearer in my life. And we got him, like, actually. Like, that's really what I want to say. Like that's who you guys are to us, another Jonathan, another Ruth, another armor bearer, another person is so important for us. I'm so glad that Jeronimo could come up early for a convention. We were in Marlboro last weekend, and then Lee Mass, and then here, and it's big, like in our hearts, people just saying, yeah, keep going, take another city, take another step, because it may, don't you like that? Let's finish, we'll just say this word, it may be, just say it, it may be that the Lord will work for us. Don't you like that? Like, it may be that the Lord will work something here in upstate New York. Hallelujah. All right, thanks, Pastor.
Thank you. Hallelujah. So thank you for an anointed message from the throne of our Father.